Welcome to Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Ryan Dobson, and our host is psychologist and best-selling author Dr. James Dobson. And over the past 2 days, we've had our good friend, Pastor Greg Laurie, on the program to discuss how the loss of his son, Christopher, changed every single person in his family. And as someone that was a personal friend of Christopher and to this amazing family, it's gut-wrenching to live life without Chris. But there is joy because I know we'll see him again one day. Pastor Laurie shared the other day that he didn't want to waste his pain and that we as believers need to comfort those with the comfort that we've been given. And that's exactly why he's created the Hope for Hurting Hearts film project, which I have to say is out of this world amazing. So if you've missed these last 2 days of discussion, please visit drjamesdobson.org or the Family Talk app to get caught up. Quickly before we dive into our discussion, Pastor Laurie is the senior pastor of Harvest Christian Fellowship in Riverside, California. He's also the founder of Harvest Crusades, where he's a featured speaker and is heard around the world on his radio program, A New Beginning. He's married to Kathy. Together they have 2 sons and 5 grandkids. Well, let's get started now as we'll hear more from our guest on the ins and outs of this film and all the great people involved. So here now is Dr. James Dobson and Pastor Greg Laurie on this edition of Family Talk.
You have also done a DVD that I want you to talk about. You didn't mention it just now as in on the list of, risky things that you're doing. But one of them is Hope for Hurting Hearts.
Yes.
Describe that for us.
Well, that came really from a book of the same title that I wrote in the aftermath of Christopher going to be with the Lord. People told me I should journal. I've never been a big journaler. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So I did that for maybe almost a month. And I just realized that it was sort of going in a cycle now. I'm sort of saying the same things. I was sort of monitoring my pain. So I thought, I'm going to just put it all in a book, as close to the pain as I can. And this book has been so helpful to people that are in pain and have catastrophic loss. I thought, what if we put it in a film? And it was something you would show to someone that has just heard the worst news imaginable. So it started out as my story. Then the fellow who is directing it, Dwight Thompson, very talented filmmaker, said, why don't we include the story of Nick Vujicic? Mm-hmm. And many of the listeners may know Nick was born without limbs, no arms and no legs, a severe disability. I said, yeah, let's include that story. And then he came back and said, why don't we include also the story of Jeremy Camp, who's a well-known musician. And Jeremy's wife died of cancer shortly after they were married. And then someone had the idea, why don't we ask Dr. Dobson to narrate it? I said, oh, he's way too busy. He'd never do that. And you graciously accepted. And so now we have this film that's called Hope for Hurting Hearts, featuring my story. My wife gives her version of it as well. Nick Vujicic, Jeremy Camp, narration by Dr. Dobson. And I know God's going to use this because I've never seen a film like it. And it just reaches down on the worst pain and comes back to a person and says, there's hope. And what do we mean when we say hope? Hope that it's all going to get better? No, because it doesn't always get better. One good definition of hope I've heard is H-O-P-E, an acronym, holding on with patient expectation. Here's the hope. It's hope in God, not hope in circumstances. Hope in God that no matter what happens, God will bring good despite the bad. Hope that if your loved one was a believer and you're a believer, you'll be reunited with them one day in heaven. Hope that God is going to help you get through this crisis. And we find that as an anchor. The scripture says hope is like an anchor that holds us in place when the storm is raging. And the key is it's hope in God, certainly not hope in a politician or hope in any other thing, but hope in God. So that's why we call this Hope for Hurting Hearts.
Well, as a matter of fact, I just now saw a portion of this DVD that you've done called Hope for Hurting Hearts. And I'm telling you, it is powerful. Mm-hmm. And I like to do something we don't often do. I'd like to take the audio of the beginning of that trailer and let our listeners hear it. We can't see it, so there's a whole lot more going on here than we can capture on radio.
Well, Dad, why don't we play the audio and let our listeners know that we have the trailer on our homepage at drjamesdobson.org, and we'll post it on Facebook as well with links to this DVD.
great suggestion, Ryan. And to help people understand what we're going to be seeing, it opens in Rome.
Yes.
And it's raining, and you're carrying an umbrella.
Yeah.
And you're walking across an old bridge.
Yes.
And you're talking. You're wearing tennis shoes. You can hear them squeaking a little bit as you walk. And you're talking about hope. Hope for hurting hearts. Here we go to Rome.
So what do you do when you hear the worst news imaginable? When the bottom drops out, that phone call, that worst case scenario, where do you find hope at a time like that? It's been said that men can live 40 days without food, about 3 days without water, about 8 minutes without air, but not 1 second without hope. Where do you find hope when you are in the middle of a storm?
It was that day I felt robbed.
When I heard the news that our son had died,
I can say that I've been in a place where I feel hopeless.
I read about the blind man seeing and the deaf hearing.
I felt as if someone had taken a big eraser to the chalkboard.
Why did this happen?
Of my dreams and just erased everything and said, it's all going to be different.
It was so hard to watch her get weaker and weaker.
God, give me arms and legs.
I felt when I heard the news, I felt like I could literally die because the pain would have stopped.
I knew God could do it, but he didn't.
I'm not supposed to be visiting the graveside of my wife so young, you know? Does that make sense?
So, does he love me? Does he hear me? And when I was searching for him, he didn't answer me. So I felt alone.
Greg, I cannot wait to see the rest of this. I'm very familiar, obviously, with your story, and only a little familiar with Jeremy's and Nick Vujicic's story. But what's the purpose of this film? What are you hoping comes from this project?
The purpose is to have a tool that you can put in someone's hands who has just heard the worst news imaginable.
Mm-hmm.
I imagine it's someone that just found out that a child died, a mother, a father, a close friend, a brother, a sister, someone that just got that news from the doctor that they have cancer. Someone that just suffered a miscarriage, someone that's in deep pain.
Mm-hmm.
And perhaps in some ways it would bring perspective because it may be that their pain is not as great as the pain of the people in this story. I mean, people have sicknesses and illnesses, but I don't know of people with a more severe disability than Nick Vujicic being born without arms or legs.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe they're going through a hardship in their marriage. But, you know, Jeremy Camp, shortly after he married his wife, she died of cancer. And
right.
Maybe you're having trouble with a prodigal child. But, you know, we tell the story of how we lost a child.
Mm-hmm.
And so it may bring perspective to your problem. And then again, you may be in a very similar situation. But I hope this film will help people to look at their circumstances from an eternal perspective, because the film builds to a talk about heaven.
Right.
And we deal with the afterlife, because far too often as Christians, we tend to think that this life is all there is, but life goes on. It continues on. And in that next phase of life, maybe we should call this part of life the before life instead of calling the next part the afterlife, because comparatively, it's relatively short.
Sure.
But the afterlife goes on forever.
Mm-hmm.
And their questions are answered and tears are dried and all these issues are resolved. But until that day, we have to keep our heart and our mind on the Lord. And as the Bible says in Colossians 3, think heaven.
Sure. As you watched early cuts of this film, did you think back to your early days and what this would have meant to you at that time?
Yeah, I've wondered if this would minister to me, and I believe it would, because it does.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as I watch it, I'm moved by it. Just because I'm saying these things or someone else is saying them doesn't mean that I've become hard to them. They still resonate with me, these truths. And, you know, Peter says that he wants to stir up our memories. And sometimes we need to be reminded of things we already know. Far too often we forget what we ought to remember and we remember what we ought to forget.
Mm.
So it's good to be reminded of certain truths again and again that are given to us in Scripture to reassure us. You know, as it tells us in Scripture, whatsoever things are true and lovely and of good report, think on these things. And often when I was going to sleep at night, I would be so filled with anxiety and pain, and all these thoughts would crowd my mind. Thoughts of, it's my fault, you know, I should have stopped him from driving up that day, or I should have done this, or other thoughts that you can't, they're worthless, unproductive thoughts. So I had a grid, I ran everything through, and it was the grid of Philippians. And I would say, is this helpful? Is this true? Is this virtuous? If not, I'm just going to reject it right now. I'm not going to go there. And I let in those thoughts that were true. When we don't understand what's happening, fall back on what we do know or what we do understand. I don't understand why this happened to me. Mm-hmm. I don't understand why tragedy happens to people out there right now. But here's what I do know. I know that God loves me. I know that God is in control of all circumstances that surround the life of the follower of Jesus Christ. I know the word oops is not in God's vocabulary. I know that one day I will be in heaven and I'll be reunited with my son. So I fall back on that and run everything through that grid of Philippians. If it's not true, if it's not helpful, if it's not virtuous, man, I'm not going to contemplate that or dwell on that because that isn't going to help me at all.
Greg, you are a pastor and you have been for many years. You've seen a lot of people experience tragedy, and a lot of people have died during the time that you've been in the ministry. How many years has that been?
We just finished 40 years of ministry.
Oh, my goodness.
It's hard to believe. Well, I started when I was four. You know. No, not really. I was around 19, so...
Well, you know that I'm not a pastor. You're the pastor and the minister, and yet my father was. So I grew up in a parsonage, and I know something about that life. So I've been around the church for a long, long time, since I was two, probably. Mm. I found the Lord when I was four. Mm. And there's been a change in music in that period of time. Not that one era is better than the other, but it was different. And in those early days, many of the hymns dealt with heaven, yeah. Talked about heaven, yes. Looking for, straining for heaven. Mm-hmm. And I remember I got a whole series of videos from my friend Bill Gaither, who had a lot of old-time gospel singers together. And they sang those old hymns. And so many of them were about heaven. And I sat there and cried all day as I watched them because they reminded me so much of the hope. You talk about hope. Yeah, yeah. In this world, sometimes there's not a lot of it to go around. Mm-hmm. But there's a better day coming. Do you think that the church has maybe not emphasized the afterlife, the crown of righteousness, and being with Jesus? I think of an old-time hymn, when we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. And when we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory.
That's right.
That is a song from the past. I haven't heard that sung in a long time, or a lot of the others. But whether you do it through music or you do it through the message, we can't forget that Christianity is always future-oriented. Mm-hmm. Is it not?
It is. And the thing that we need to remember is that it's not over in this life. We will think, oh, this tragedy happened. You know, that person will never reach their potential. And we act as though everything that's going to happen can only be in the here and now. But the Bible talks about an afterlife. It talks about not only heaven, but it talks about heaven coming to earth. Mm-hmm. And the Bible describes heaven as a city. It describes it as a country. It describes it as a meal. We read about the great wedding feast of the Lamb. It describes it as a place. Jesus said, I have gone to prepare a place for you. Mm-hmm. And I think far too often we think of heaven in too surreal of a way, when we ought to think of it as a real place, because that's exactly what it is. Paul described it as a paradise, a garden. And so until that day, we need to hold on with patient expectation. And here's something that might surprise you. Hope actually grows in the garden of adversity. Romans 5:3 says, we know that we glory in tribulations, knowing tribulation produces perseverance, perseverance, character, and character, hope. Who would ever think that hope would grow in difficulty? But the fact is, it does, because you cry out to God because there's nowhere else to go. And so I think that we need to realize that that is a powerful testimony to a lost world. And I think when a Christian can give glory to God in adversity, a lost world is paying attention because they are looking for hope in a hopeless world.
Well, I just told everybody you are a pastor and have been for many years. You just proved it in the last 6 or 8 minutes, because that's the essence of what we're trying to say. Mm-hmm. Greg, would you reach out through these microphones and the airwaves to the people out there who are really, really struggling? People who have lost hope, and people who can hardly breathe with what they're going through. And they're listening to us today, and they're saying, help me. Help me. I don't know if I can deal with this. Yeah. I don't know if I can cope. The one I love is gone, and my life is changed forever. And like my mother, when my dad suddenly died, fell into my mother's arms on that Sunday, she gave up all hope. I mean, here she is, a saint in my view, and yet she could not deal with that.
That's right.
And she gave up. And in just a few years, she had Parkinson's. And from there, it was 11 years of very, very difficult experiences. They can't give up hope.
No.
I mean, talk to the person who is there.
Well, here's what I would say to you. Don't give up. And know this, God is with you. You know, when Lazarus died, Jesus went to his tomb. Now, we all know that Jesus would raise Lazarus again from the dead. Yet we read before he did that, Jesus wept. Why did he weep? Maybe he wept because he thought, oh, poor Lazarus, he's going to have to leave the glory of heaven and come back to earth. But I think the real reason he wept was he weeps with us as we weep. You know, the Bible says Jesus was a man of sorrows and well acquainted with grief. He felt our pain. He has breathed our air. He's walked in our shoes, he's lived our life, and he's died our death, and he rose again. So know this, you're not alone in your pain. He is there with you, and he will be with you no matter what you're facing in life. At the birth of a baby or the death of a saint, Jesus has said, I will never leave you or forsake you. Here's a passage I love. God says, Isaiah 43, when you go through deep waters and great trouble, I'll be with you. When you go through rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. When you walk through the fires of oppression, you will not be burned up. The flames will not consume you. So you are not alone. Cry out to God right now. That's the only hope you have. It's him. It's Jesus you need. And he will hear your cry. He will answer your cry. And he'll get you through this crisis. And one day you'll look back on it with perspective in heaven. But until that day, hang on with patient expectation.
Mm. There is a scripture that I read yesterday, and I wish I'd written down a reference to it because I can't recall it at this moment. But there is a scripture in Revelations that describes a scene before the throne of God. Yeah. And he is there, and before him are saints who are holding what is called golden bowls.
Yes.
And they contain the prayers of his people.
That's true.
What an imagery that was.
Yes.
I know some friends that are really going through hard times. They're facing cancer and really struggling. And just the thought that not only is the Lord there with them, but before the throne of God, there are all the prayers of the people that are praying for them.
Yes.
And they're in that bowl, and it calls them incense.
Yes.
The aroma comes up before the throne and before our Heavenly Father.
Yes.
Man, does that imagery get a hold of you?
Yeah, it's powerful. You know, when my son Christopher and I were in Israel, this was shortly before he went to be with the Lord, we went to an antiquity store in downtown Jerusalem, and they had an amazing little bottle. It was translucent blue with a very long neck. So I asked the man who owned the store, "What is this bottle?" He said, "That's a Roman tear bottle." I said, "Well, what is it used for?" He says, "Well, whenever they had a loved one who had died, they would put their tears in the bottle." And Christopher and I talked about it. We took pictures of it. And I thought of what the psalmist said when he said, "You keep my tears in a bottle." Heaven keeps record of these things, of the prayers you mentioned, of the tears that are shed.
None of them are lost.
Nothing's lost.
I mean, my father and mother prayed for me for many years, and they're gone on to heaven.
Yeah.
But those prayers are in the bowl.
That's right. And you know, I believe this, Dr. Dobson. I believe that heaven is more aware of what is happening on earth than people may understand. I could make a case for this, and I have in teachings I've done, but let me just simplify it. Jesus said there is joy in heaven over one sinner that comes to repentance. Every time a lost person believes in Jesus, there's a party in heaven. What does this say? When something happens on earth, they're aware of it in heaven. Interestingly, it doesn't say that there's rejoicing among the angels. It says there is joy in the presence of the angels. Is it possible that our loved ones, Dr. Dobson and Ryan, who are in heaven right now, would be aware of how God had used their life, and maybe someone had come to faith because of their life, like my son, like your father or your mother, and that there's a connection between heaven and earth? I don't think that people are sitting up in heaven in chairs watching everything that goes on here, but I think they may know more than we may think. No, we can't communicate with them, and they can't communicate with us. But one day we'll pick up where we last left off in that conversation, just as Jesus did with his disciples after he was risen from the dead.
Okay, put on your theological hat here. Hebrews 11 says, we're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. Who's in that cloud?
Well, that's a great question. And I think that it's sort of a support point for what I was saying earlier about heaven watching. Because Hebrews 11 is what we call the Hall of Faith. And there you'll find the stories of great men and women of God who died, who have gone on. And then in light of that, it says, seeing then that we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, it would appear that the cloud of witnesses being referred to are those that were just mentioned in Hebrews 11. So does that mean people in heaven are watching us on earth? Let me say this. It may.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think you could say it doesn't. Sort of like people watching a race. Are they cheering us on? Maybe they are.
I hope they are. I get encouragement from thinking that those who have gone before, who remain faithful and gave their heart to Christ, are up there saying, attaboy, you're going to make it. This is tough, but you're going to make it. You know?
I think they may be. And I kind of lean toward believing that they are. And so they're saying to us, look, we've run this race. Now you run this race. And one day we'll be in glory and perhaps cheering on the loved ones that have followed us as well.
Well, Pastor Greg Laurie, three programs have gone skirting by here.
It's too fast. It's too fast.
And everything you have said is useful. And I know it's going to be a lot of help to our listeners and to the people in our audience. And certainly hope for hurting hearts is going to be very, very useful to people who are in pain. Greg, thanks for being with us.
Thank you for making
this journey. We've worked you half to death.
Not at all. Let me just say one last thing. Thank you for doing the narration for the film, and even more, thank you for just being you. You know, the blessing you've been to the church for so many years. As we've all raised our children and a new generation is discovering you, and you're a treasure and we love you. And I'm speaking on behalf of millions of Christians when I say thank you to you, Dr. Dobson.
Let's work together again.
Let's do it.
Okay.
What encouraging and kind words from our friend Pastor Greg Laurie here on this Family Talk broadcast. And remember, today begins the live simulcast screening of Hope for Hurting Hearts. So hurry to drjamesdobson.org for a link on that information and make sure you watch that film. Also, keep in the back of your mind, while you can watch this film from today through the 14th, the DVD doesn't come out until August 1st of 2013. And I think that would make a great gift for the loved ones in your life. Again, drjamesdobson.org has all the information on this film and what Pastor Laurie is up to. We really appreciate you joining us these past 3 days. Our prayer is that new hope has been injected into your life, and we would love to hear about that. So come by our Facebook page and tell us what God is doing in your life. And while you're there, consider donating to the Ministry of Family Talk. We would appreciate it. We're in those lean summer months, and sometimes it's tough to get by. You can donate via Facebook, our smartphone app, or when you call, our number is 877-732-6825. Again, 877-732-6825. Thanks for joining us. God bless, and we'll see you next time for another edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Family Talk is not affiliated with Focus on the Family.